Okay. I think we'll go ahead and get started. This is Mary Kay. Thanks for joining us today. Megan, anything before I get started or not today?
Not today. I'm good.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Thanks for your time today. And I wanted to share some information with you today about moving to virtual format for live in-person meetings, because this is a popular topic, and continue the key points from the educational activity planning record form that we started last time. And if you were on the call last time, you'll remember with that documentation form that you used for your activities. We had a new version in January. We took a look at the first part in March, and then we'll take a look at the rest of it today. Hey, just a reminder, really big on the screen, to use the email wnantrl@wisconsinnurses.org. All emails are not being monitored, and I want to be able to hear from you if you need anything. All right. I have a question for the folks out there. Oh, I can't do it. Okay. My question is, and just maybe a raise of hands on the screen. Or how many people if you can raise your hands on the screen, and Megan, you can tell me how many people have considered or have done in the past 3 months moving a live format that was being planned from March to present or for in the future. How many people have considered moving that to either a live internet or an on-demand format? Okay, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, okay. All right. So this is something that looks like everybody is, not everybody, but a lot of people are looking at right now. I noticed in March, everybody was kind of wait and see activities. In April, we noticed that there was a push to a later date for activities. And in May, we started noticing a big shift for people moving to virtual activities, either live virtual or on demand. So you are in good company if you're doing that. I did include in the outline today pretty detailed so that you've got the notes already. Moving from in-person to virtual meetings, and wanted to go over some things that people have had questions about lately. I guess the first thing to consider when you're moving from in-person to virtual meeting is the ANCC commercial support standards. I did include the link in your document. And I apologize. My internet keeps going in and out, and I'm trying to get a hot spot while I talk with you. So I think we're good now. So you can go to the ANCC commercial support guidelines, and the information that pertains to this particular situation we're in right now and moving activities to either live virtual or on-demand virtual, if you look in the standards, section G, the additional criteria for ensuring content integrity, that's a section that you'll want to read through that applies to folks that are doing that. And then if you're doing anything with mobile apps, you'll want to read section H. So I'm not going to read over that right now with you, but I would like you to take a look at that. And if you do have questions before the next call, which if you're offering virtual online courses, you probably will, because there are some different ways to interpret those standards. So if you do have specific questions, please let me know, and we'll also have time for questions in a bit. Okay? So be sure to check those out if you do any kind of commercial support at all for your live meetings. I know there's a lot of larger symposiums that are going on live for fall, and that's a concern for those folks. As far as documentation in your activity record form, if you are moving from, let's say you just start a new activity now and you're filling out the educational activity planning record form that you fill out every time that you do an activity, just continue to fill out that form, and it's the one that we're currently going over in our call. It's the one that you're used to using. This is it. It's got a place for enduring material events. So you would fill that out just like normal if you are starting to plan an activity. If you're changing from a live activity to a live virtual activity, and the key here is changing from live in person to live virtual. So no on-demand, if you're just making that format change and you've already got your planning form filled out, all you need to do is to go to the first pages of your form and then find where you have the live event. And just if you've already done your planning and you just filled it out for a live in-person event, just make a note on your activity record file that the course is going to live virtual, and then you can select Internet Live from the choices. I'm trying to use ANCC language. I tend to say virtual instead of Internet, but if you're changing to an Internet Live course from an in-person live course, you don't have to do a whole other application. A whole other activity record form, you can just make that change on the current activity record form. All right. And then if you are planning an activity and you had planned it to be live and you've already filled out the educational activity record planning form, you don't have to fill out another full record form for your file to change that live activity to an enduring material. And some of you may remember this. It is an addendum, and I did not send it to you purposely. Megan will post the final copy on the website or have that posted very soon. If you need this today, you can email me and let me know, and I'd be happy to send it to you. The reason I didn't send it is because sometimes we make some final tweaks before it gets posted, and then you have an old version. So this is the short form. It's an addendum for your real estate provider. It's an addendum for enduring materials developed directly from live activities. So if you have a live webinar, or even a live in-person activity, and you've got that completely documented on your activity planning form, you can just fill out the short addendum for your enduring material. So let's say you're taking a live webinar and putting that as on demand would be one example. It's very short. You just need to answer, are things the same, basically? And then there's some key things that are highlighted in yellow that you should really think about when you're moving virtual activities to on-demand. So this addendum will be available shortly, excuse me, from the provider page. And again, you would fill this out if you've already completed the full activity record planning form for a live activity, and now you want to make an enduring material or an on-demand out of it. So those are kind of the three situations that we have we've run into so far. And I have a question for those folks that have either done this or are in the process of doing this now. And the question is, and you can either put your answer in the chat or unmute and let us know. And my question is, in changing from live to live virtual or live internet enduring material, either what kind of issues have you had, or what advice could you give somebody else on the call from your experience doing that? Okay. Megan, are you able to read the chat?
Yes. Hang on one second. I just got to close this window because I can't see it at all. There we go. We have tech issues delivering live webinars. Oh, yes. Tech issues.
Those
there are multiple attendees typing. Sorry.
Okay, no, that's fine. Okay.
Another vote for tech issues.
Okay.
Another one with instructors uncomfortable with delivering content via computer.
Okay.
We have another comment about technology, trying to ensure everyone had the same platforms and upgrades. How to give participants their evaluations.
Okay.
Sorry, they're coming in here.
Okay.
And also their certificates of completion, so, you know, going hand in hand there.
Okay. Great. Okay. So for either of those four, I've got four written down. I've got tech issues. I've got instructors uncomfortable or having their internet drop constantly. Evaluations of certificates. Those are the four big things that I've seen come through. So for those of you that are doing that, tell me how you're managing that. If you can share with the folks on the call, how are you handling tech issues? How are you dealing with instructors? How are you getting evaluations to your folks, and or how are you getting certificates out? Or if you haven't done it yet, what have you thought?
Hi, Mary Kay. This is Laura Fuller with...
Hi.
So I wanted to share a little bit of information, the conversation that we're having right now. We actually converted all of our face-to-face or in-person programs to live virtual events.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that we did was to modify the agenda a week. We still held them the same day. We broke up our speakers and tried to keep it to about 9 minutes and then give them maybe a half hour if possible, because sitting at the computer for a long period of time is challenging. So changing that format helped quite a bit. We found that our attendance pretty much 100% most of the day. Technology, then using GoToWebinar, GoToMeeting, I know that's just there. We haven't found any technology issues related to that platform. It's been quite user-friendly. if we've had internet challenges, we to use their computer for the PowerPoint and the webinar, but then use their phone for their audio portion. So at least if there's an issue related to the PowerPoint, we can back that up quickly by advancing for them. But typically, if they had a better phone service or phone connection, we knew they would stay there and they could continue to present. So that was one workaround. Our evaluations are also through our your membership platform, where we put out the evaluation, and when they complete it, they get a certificate. But another option, if he doesn't have that, would be to use SurveyMonkey, again, another very user-friendly platform, where they send out the evaluation and monitor anyone that completes the evaluation, and then they could email them a PDF of their certificate. So that's multiple ways to work those options. As far as speakers being comfortable with the webcam and our platform, GoToWebinar, we always offer the practice sessions from the actual program, so we're checking for connectivity, equipment functioning properly, and the speaker being more comfortable during that session. We're helping them with their webcam and lighting, background, and then when the speakers are conversation, I include a link, actually two links. One is a tutorial or a quick training, a quick tip, GoToWebinar that we use. I found it on GoToWebinar site about 2 minutes. We share that with the speakers so that they can view that and get comfortable with the service that we're using. And then I also have about a 2-minute video that I share that's some quick tips, serious things to do when you're presenting virtually. That seems to help us get over that curve a little bit.
That is fantastic. And I would love it if you would send me that last item, and I'm serious. Thanks for sharing those. That's great.
Absolutely. I'm
very
okay. Yeah, Megan. Thank you.
There's quite a bit in the chat here. Would you like me to read these, or do you want to just kind of scroll through, or you tell me?
I would say if you could just go ahead and read through them briefly, I would I would appreciate everybody's ideas.
Yeah. There was another comment about using SurveyMonkey to send out or have folks complete the evaluation, and then the certificates would be delivered via email. One group moved to a live video and audio feed to just audio, and then the on-site person had to advance the slides. We've done that too as an organization. There was another vote, if you will, for practice sessions with instructors. I would like to. Somebody has tech support from their organization. There's a link in a cool idea. There's a link put in the chat box for the evaluation. And once they fill that out, their certificate becomes available. So it's nice to have that on-site tech support. Some folks moved their programs entirely to larger rooms. Anything that would be hands-on has just been canceled for right now. The email instructions for all steps with links to complete evaluation and certificates are emailed after completion. Oh, another group uses Microsoft Forms for evaluation. I just looked at that the other day. And the link to the certificate can be included in that as well. That's it. I'm done.
Okay. All right. Those are some great ideas. Thanks for sharing those. And as you go along, if you run into either problems or solutions in moving from a live in-person to either a live virtual or a live internet and during material, please let me know what you're doing that's working or what you're having problems with so we can share those and get some answers from the group as a whole. Okay, good. Thanks for sharing those. And Megan, thanks for reading those.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We talked about documentation. If you have questions, let me know. I'm going to skip down to D for a minute and talk a little bit more about some considerations for criteria when you're moving from a live to an on-demand, specifically an enduring material. So you want to make sure when you fill out the addendum, so again, the addendum is used when you have a live activity already documented and you want to make that into an enduring material or an internet enduring material. To be sure to note any content changes in the addendum, because sometimes content does change a little bit, especially if you are changing up the agenda or even breaking it up into smaller pieces. Also remember, if you're changing from a live in-person format to any type of virtual format, make sure if you have additional presenters or planners to get their conflicts of interest form. Remember that you need a mechanism to make disclosures to the viewers before your content is delivered, just like you would for a live activity. And when you do that, if you are presenting an on-demand or internet enduring material format, you need to let them know how long your activity will be available online, that they can complete it and get their contact hours. There's always that gap period where people start it and they need time to finish, so they need to know when they need to finish the activity. And that's something that we've run into some issues with on and off in the past couple of years, is some confusion about the expiration date needs to be for when they have to complete the activity. Then, of course, you still need an attendance verification method, and you need to be able to track the number of contact hours and who got them. So that doesn't change at all from your live activity. Another question that I've been getting a lot is, can you live stream speakers when you change from an in-person to a live virtual presentation, and what you need to do? You don't have to do anything. If you're live streaming a speaker instead of having them there in person, as far as the criteria are concerned, it's all the same. I know it's not for technology, but the criteria really make no special considerations for that. So you can live stream speakers as you would just with any live activity. All right. Okay, and then just a word about NARS. When you change a live event to a live virtual event, you need to make a new entry in NARS and enter that as an internet event. So if you're live in person and you change that to internet live, then you need to make a new entry and call that internet live. If you're changing something to an enduring material, like an on-demand webinar, or some, even if it's not online, it's just a regular enduring material, you need to have a new activity entered that documents that you're starting an enduring material or an internet enduring material. And if you're doing ongoing activities like on-demand webinars, then you need to document in NARS at the end of the year that information, and that's a minimum. We really recommend quarterly. We've had some situations where people have lost data and that have been not able to enter it into NARS. And if they would have documented it quarterly, they would have had a lot better time with that. So, I'm someone who's always doing my NARS at the last minute. And having said that, if you can keep up on that real time, that's really helpful, especially if you're going into your reapproval year, the year before you have your application reviewed by WNA to continue to be an approved provider. Make sure you're keeping up on your NARS real time, because you'll need that information for your application. All right. Anything else? Any issues, questions, problems with moving from a live in person to virtual format?
Hi, Mary Kay. This is Laura Fuller with Michigan again.
Yeah.
I have a question, please. So we changed from in person to live virtual. We are only providing credit if they attend the live training. However, we are recording those in case someone misses the program that they registered for, and we will provide them a recording. When we provide them the recording, we are not doing that. There's a disclaimer that we include for that. So I don't.
You just. Oh, I'm sorry. You broke up on your last sentence.
Okay. Provide someone a recording. We do not give them credit, and we include a disclosure for that.
Mm-hmm.
So that we complete our activity during the credit.
Okay, I'm sorry, you just broke up again. And that last one, can you repeat that, please?
I can. So when we provide the recording,
mm-hmm.
and we are not issuing credit, and we
mm-hmm.
disclose that we are not issuing credit,
mm-hmm.
I don't believe I have to go back and update my activity record for enduring material because we're not giving them credit. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. The second part of
the
question is, when we are doing that, is there some place on the activity record where we have to note that we would provide a recording without credit? Does WNA or ANCC want to see that we are actually providing the recording, but we are stating that it is without credit?
No. If you do, you don't have to document on the activity planning form any other activities, which the recording is actually considered a separate activity because it's an on-demand or an internet enduring material. So the only thing that we need documentation for is the content that you are offering contact hours for. You're welcome to put that on there. If we saw that, we would go, oh, okay, well, that's pretty cool. Especially if it sounds like you're being really clear to participants that they won't get credit for it. So I think we would look at it with interest, but not with you need to say that to meet the criteria. Does that help?
It does. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Anything else? Anybody else?
There's a question here from.
Yeah.
Kira. Hi.
No, you go ahead. Could you read that?
Yeah, you bet. So we have a live event using Zoom. That would allow for interaction between attendees and the instructor. Instructor can ensure the attendee was present for the entirety of the program.
Okay. Most web platforms, you can get a report from the webinar vendor that does show that shows information about the participants, and you can tell how long they were actually on the webinar and have that documentation. We have, in my other hat, we have had that happen where someone will register for the webinar and be on the call, for 10 minutes. And that's not a successful completion criteria. so that person does not receive the evaluation or certificate. So the most webinar platforms do have those reports available. Sometimes you have to look for them or ask for them. And as far as Zoom specifically, I've used it minimally. I don't know if anyone else has used Zoom specifically. Anybody? Okay. When we play every Sunday night with our family, we use Google Hangouts. But I don't know if that would be really helpful for you for this. Okay.
There we have a couple comments.
Go ahead.
So one is GoToMeeting allows that feature for up to 25 people can share webcams, and presenter can show his or her screen. GoToWebinar allows for only 6 webcams to be shown at one time. And there was another comment that we have a post-test they need to pass along with confirmation they were on WebEx for the entire time. I'm assuming that's like a self-report sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. And that post-test, then, is there validation of attendance and it shows that they were present for the entire time. And it sounds like there is another mechanism to actually report attendance. So I think that would be, we validate attendance. Okay, thanks, Lydia. Yes, as long as you have that attendance validation, a post-test is a great way to validate that the participant has taken in what you intended for them to. So I think we're going to see post-tests coming back more. I've already seen that a little bit. All right. So I'm going to check out GoToMeeting for sure, if we can share 25 webcams with that for other work. And GoToWebinar, you can share 6. You know, sometimes your platforms are prescribed to you by your organization, and that makes it difficult. But if you have the freedom to choose your own and you find, something that really works well for you, please share that, because I think others would benefit from that too. Or, any kinds of successes or challenges that you've had doing these. Okay. All right. Going once, going twice. Anything else on virtual?
There's a couple. Sorry.
No, you go, Megan.
There was just a note about GoToMeeting and GoToWebinar that they allow you to record. And Zoom is used by Minnesota State Colleges and Universities for this purpose, to verify attendance in class.
Mm-hmm.
And Laura would be happy to share her GoToMeeting and GoToWebinar experiences with anyone who would like more information, and I will be calling you.
That's great. Thanks, Laura. Okay, thanks everybody very much. All right. We'll talk more about this in our July call as well. I'll be very interested in people's experience with this as we go forward, because I think we're all going to be learning a lot together. Okay. I'd like to turn to the handout that I sent earlier that was really just the education activity record form. And I know I call this different things sometimes. I started calling it the educational activity planning form to emphasize that this does need to be completed when you're planning an activity and to help you walk through this criteria when you're planning. So the last time we went through some examples of gaps and learning outcomes, The rest of the application is a little bit more straightforward. And I wanted to start with letter F, what content will you develop to help learners achieve the learning outcomes? I know we're kind of jumping in the middle, but think about you've already got your gap, you've already got your outcome, and you're documenting your content. There's an example here of a one-hour webinar. Is there anything else if you were planning a conference that you would include here? And there's no right or wrong answer. But is there anything if you're planning a conference that you would like the reviewers to know about your content? Just a couple things from the reviewer perspective. You might have a little bit longer explanation than ask for a conference. For a conference, you've already included that. You might include for a conference what the major theme of the conference is, and then if there are several breakout sessions that address the same theme, themes that are related directly to your outcome, that's something that you could include in here that's helpful for the reviewers. Okay, and then section G, what evidence will you base your content on? The two things that we see the most here that will lead to a score reduction is the biggest thing is the reference date. If your references for your evidence-based information for your activity aren't within the past 5 to 7 years, let us know why. So if you have your references listed and most of them are beyond 5 to 7 years, that's going to be a big question in the reviewer's mind. Also, if you use website, please use a complete URL. The idea is that the reviewers would be able to go to that. If you just put cdc.gov, that's not going to be enough of a reference. So please be specific in your references. And then for expert resource, the whole idea of that is if you list an individual, have at least a couple, and don't just list your speaker. That's something that we see occasionally. The point of expert resource is to validate evidence-based information. So if you're using other individuals as evidence-based references, make sure you have someone besides the speaker listed there. All right, learner engagement strategies. I think everybody has done a great job with as far as meeting the criteria with that. Commercial support. I know you don't all offer commercial support, but just to remember that vendor exhibit fees are not considered commercial support. It makes me sad if I look at an activity file and someone has gotten commercial support agreements for all their vendors, because you don't need to do that. Okay, commercial support is either financial or in-kind support that's given by a commercial interest organization that is not a vendor or exhibit fee. Well, Carol, we'll come back to that. And then make sure the opposite thing we see is that if you actually do get commercial support, remember to attach an agreement for each commercial interest organization that provided that support. So when we see problems with commercial support, we usually see the two ends of the spectrum. We see either everybody had a commercial support agreement and didn't need one because they were a vendor, or we have commercial support and there were no agreements. Okay. Megan, are you able to read the message from Carol? Mm-hmm.
You bet. Yep. I have some presenters who list a textbook that is older than 10 years or more, but they insist it is the best resource. Can I attach their statement as to why it is old but the best?
You can. I would challenge as a nurse planner for the activity, I would challenge them, you know, is that the best evidence-based information that we have? If we look at your references and overall they are within the time frame, then it's a little bit less of a concern. If you do have a very old reference, it would be good to attach the rationale for that, even just a handwritten note in the activity file. But I would really challenge you to challenge the speaker on, is that the most recent evidence-based information? And that can be challenging.
Yeah.
Very challenging. Okay, if they have that textbook along with other references, then I would also be less concerned. Okay, awarding contact hours, pretty much just minor changes here from the old form. And just remember, we talked about this a little bit, to have a 10 or 10 certificate issue process that tracks who gets the contact hours and how many they're getting. Contact hours, the reason this section is in here, it was intended to help with NARS, because in NARS you need to enter the maximum number of contact hours that one participant can earn in ANCC, called group nursing credit, and you also need to enter the hours of instruction. So unless you have a big conference, those numbers are the same, but a lot of people do conferences, and for the nursing credits, it's simply how many credits can one participant earn. And for the total hours of instruction, that's for all your sessions, all your breakouts, everything. All together, how many hours are you designating for your activity? Okay. We talked about agendas. There is a difference here. We used to say if your activity is 3 or more hours in length. If your activity is 2 or more hours in length, then you need to attach an agenda. Certificates, just about everybody has great. And as you renew your provider status, you'll have a copy of the new statement that you need to use, and everybody has received that refers to nursing continuing professional development rather than continuing nursing education. So certificates are usually never a problem. We talked about the required information for learners, and we already talked about the dates that contact hours won't be offered for the activity. And remember, they need to complete the activity before the expiration date. So keep that in mind when you are posting your activity. How long are you going to give people? Are you going to give them a month? Are you going to give them 3 months? Make sure that there's really clear expectations of when they have to complete the activity to get contact hours. Evaluation strategies, I think the biggest things, and we have talked about this a little bit on other calls, is for your evaluation, you know, go back to your outcomes and what makes sense, how are you measuring your outcomes. The biggest thing, and I'll continue to emphasize this, is your evaluation summary has to include a written analysis of results. Showing how we use the data to make improvements for future activities. And we put that in verbatim at the bottom of page 5, and we will start looking at that more as we go forward in our reviews. Okay. We still have the content integrity section, and the thing that we see here the most is there are things checked that don't have anything to do with the activity. So if you have a template of this form and you want to make sure that all of these are followed for every activity, no matter what, you can fill that all of the X's in. I would like to see a note on there that says, like, this is for, we do this for all of our activities or something like that, to that effect. Because otherwise we're going to look at this and say, okay, this activity has no commercial interest, so why are they selecting commercial interest organizations will not be allowed to recruit? Or we might say, well, they're not doing giveaways for this, so why have they checked giveaways? So just make sure for content integrity, if you blanket them all the time, you can check all the boxes and make a note of that you do this for all activities. Otherwise, just check the ones that make sense. If you use WNA form, then you can always check all presenters and authors have agreed to maintaining content integrity. That's the first box underneath that statement to indicate content integrity. And another thing that we see is on the fourth one down, educational materials will be reviewed by a content reviewer. I think we all have somebody who's an expert in content look at materials, but when the WNA reviewers see the word content reviewer, ANCC has a very specific definition for content reviewer. And that is somebody who is outside your planning committee who's been designated by the nurse planner to review content because there's not enough expertise to evaluate content on the planning team. Most people do not have a content reviewer outside of their planning team. So whenever you see the word content reviewer, stop and think, are we really using a content reviewer? As in the ANCC definition. We come across that all the time. All right. The next section is just reordered a little bit. Hopefully it will make more sense. And we still have the names of the folks that are in the planning role. We have the names of the folks that are in the presenter role. And then one thing I think people are starting to do a little bit better job on is providers need to evaluate if conflict of interest assessment and disclosure is required. And that is new as of this year. We've talked about that and I'll continue to talk about it. And if there's any possibility content could be related in any way to the products and services of an ANCC-defined commercial interest, then conflict of interest disclosure is required. Again, I know I've said it before, that's going to be 95% of your activities. The times where you would not need to get conflict of interest forms would be something like leadership skills or, you know, something that could have no clinical relationship. All right, these are the things. And we just reordered the bottom section, I think, and I hope it will make more sense as you go through here and make it a little bit easier to fill out. And then we also added the checklist for additional documentation that is required in your activity form, so hopefully this will be helpful as well. And again, we're emphasizing your summative evaluation data, including an analysis of that data. And we've talked on previous calls about what that might include. Okay, so not as fun and interactive as the changes for the first session, but I'm hoping that by sharing some of the things that the reviewers find or some of the things that will reduce your score on your sample activity file, I hope that that will be helpful. Okay. great. We've got just a few minutes left. Are there any other questions, anything to share, any hot topics besides virtual presentations? Anything anybody wants to say?
There's a quick question, Mary Kay. Is the reference date in the footer of the document accurate, or have there been new updates since January 13th?
Dave and I were just discussing this. What is posted and what versions we have out there. Anything that would be after this would be like a tweak in information. We had a copy out after this that had some highlighting in it to show the changes, and we had changed the date on that. So if you do have something that is after that, let me know. We try very hard to corral all the all of the changes and versions that happen, and just have the latest version on the website. So if you notice anything, please let us know. Great question. Megan, that takes me back to this morning. Okay, good. Anything else? Okay. Hearing none. A 5 minutes grace time. Thanks so much for joining the conversation today. I really appreciate everybody's input, and I think that really helps other people to hear things that are happening everywhere else, all the providers that we have. So thank you. All right. That's all I have. Thank you all very much. Have a good day.